We continue the series on Daniel, and it's verses 1 through 12 of chapter 3. So King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it on the plain of Dur in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, and governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, and magistrates, and all the other officials assembled for the dedication of the image of the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald boldly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you're commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn and the flute and lyre, harp, and pipe and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve the gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up." Our New Testament lesson is found in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 through 7. Listen to Peter's words. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy has given us new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by the fire, may be proven genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds today. Well, this morning, as we continue the series on Daniel, I want to talk about trial by fire. But first, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this mother that was running the weed whacker one day, and she didn't see her cat hiding in the bushes, and without realizing, she ran the weed whacker over the cat's tail and cut the cat's tail completely off. She didn't know what to do, so she grabbed the cat and she grabbed the tail and her running towards the car, and her neighbor saw her and asked her what happened. She said she cut the cat's tail off, and she said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And she said, "Well, I'm going to Walmart." And the woman said, "Walmart? Why Walmart?" And the lady said, "Hello, Walmart, haven't you heard? The biggest retailer in the world." Well, sometimes we face some challenges in life that Walmart or Lowe's or whatever won't fix for us, or not easily. And so we look at challenges this morning of an extraordinary nature as these three young men face an incredible trial and temptation. And as we look at this series on Daniel, I suggested as we go through this that, one, it sort of starts out a little slowly, but really has all the pieces of a great summer action adventure movie, except it's not in movie form this morning. But you see the themes of temptation and compromise, of standing strong for God, and faith in times of adversity. And these are really the things that we face today, though perhaps not in as dramatic fashion. And Babylon had come and had conquered Israel, and in fact had really devastated Israel and even destroyed the temple that the people worshipped. And they couldn't understand that. And one of the things they did was they took some of the best and brightest of these young people of Israel, and they took them away to Babylon. And there they were supposed to go to the best sort of university of the time. They're supposed to be trained by the smartest and brightest people and eat the best food. And when they were finished with that three-year sort of program, then they were to be rulers. And so it was a way of eliciting the support of Israel, the conquered nation. It was sort of a benevolent way of doing it, but it was also a way of sort of subtly turning their values into the values of Babylon, which in many cases were very, very different than Israel. And so they had the opportunity to do great for themselves, but they also have to be able to face the trials and temptations that were before them in order to remain faithful to God. And so we pick up the story right here, and it's really an incredible moment. And I don't know what maybe King Nebuchadnezzar had in mind, but can you imagine for a moment? This is a statue that's 60 cubits high, which means it's roughly 90 feet tall, which is huge, huge. It'd be taller than the church here. A cubit is roughly the length of a hand from the fingertips to the elbow, so roughly 18 inches, so it's pretty high. And then six cubits, almost 9 or 10 feet wide. So it's a huge statue. I don't know whether Nebuchadnezzar got bored. He certainly was in love with himself, and so somehow got convinced that he should build this statue, and then invited all these dignitaries to come out to the special celebration. And then when they got there, they found out that at the sound of the music, they were supposed to fall down and worship the idol. Now, that was bad enough, but then on the other hand, if they didn't fall down and worship that idol, then they were to thrown into this fiery furnace. So that is a pretty big temptation, and of course, at the sound of the music, all the people bowed down to this idol, except for these young Hebrew brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't know where Daniel was, but we don't see Daniel was in that picture at the time. But Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego were there, and they refused to bow down to that. Now, you think for a moment, oh, if I was thrown into that kind of trial, what would I do? I mean, I wouldn't want to bow down to that idol. On the other hand, who would want to be thrown into a fiery furnace? I can't think of a worse sort of end. But I think the first lesson is that God prepares us for trials. And the way God often prepares us for trials is he starts in small ways that prepare us for the big events of life. And so with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and also with Daniel, they had started early in the first chapter, remember, that this temptation had come along that they were supposed to conform to the king's diet. Now, for you and I, that probably seems like a very insignificant sort of trial and temptation. And in some ways it was, but that was a vow they had taken. And so they stood firm and they were able to keep their diet, but they had to stand up against the values of the day. And I think God used that to strengthen them. And then the next sort of trial that came, that's a little bit more than that, was that the king had a dream. And he wanted that dream interpreted. Not only did he want the dream interpreted, but he wanted whoever was to interpret to tell him what the actual dream was. And that way, he said, he'd know if they were telling the truth. And no one could do that except Daniel put himself front and center and said, I believe that my God can give me the answer that you have. And so once again, they did that, and he told the king some things that weren't easy to tell the king. But because he was forthright, they were given positions of honor, Daniel as well as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so with those positions of honor, they're invited to this special event, at least Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are. But God had used those small trials to put them front and center and to strengthen them for this event. Now, you probably think, in our life, we don't have any idols, right? I mean, no one's making a 90-foot-tall statue of the president or someone else or king, some ancient king. And we don't even use the term idol that much. But we do have some temptations, don't we? And oddly enough, I mean, I don't know about you, but one of my favorite shows on TV is American, say it, Idol, yeah? American Idol. Now, I like the show, but I mean, it sort of represents some things in our culture that aren't so different, are they? I mean, you think of being an idol, it's about being a music rock star and money that comes with that, fame and fortune and all the values of Hollywood. Not all of them are bad, but when you think about that, it sort of crystallizes a lot of things that this isn't so far removed from us. I mean, the world may be different, and you don't see a big statue, but maybe the temptations are just as real, even if more subtle. Because we're tempted to compromise our values, and we're tempted to compromise, and even though there's nothing wrong with any of those things, you think about money, and you think about music, and fame's not so bad, but if they come before God, and God's principles and God's values, then we're doing something that's wrong. And so these three brothers had a temptation at a level that maybe we won't see, but are tempted in some ways by some of the same things. And so there they stood. They run to the Nebuchadnezzar and they say, listen, these three brothers, these Jews, these people who believe a different God, not only do they worship a different God, but they won't bow down to your statue. And so the king brings these three brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, before him. And here's what it says in chapter 3, as you continue in verse 13. It says, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music," apparently I had a pretty big band for this occasion, "so if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good." So he gives him another chance. "But if you do not want to worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" I mean, front and center with the king, everybody else, you know, it's not like it can fade over to the side. But listen, I think their response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three brothers, is one of the most outstanding statements of faith in all the Bible. And this is what they said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar," this is the most powerful king on the planet at that time, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If the God we serve is able to deliver us, then he will deliver us from the blazing furnace and from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up." What an incredible statement of faith. You know, sometimes when we think about faith and we think about the trials and temptations and adversities and challenges that we face that are so real in life, and it's almost as if sometimes that we sort of lay our faith in God answering whatever the prayer is. If God answers the prayer, then I'm going to believe God. I'm going to keep following God. But what happens if the prayer isn't answered the way in which we'd like it answered? I mean, do we have the faith and the strength like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to say, "Listen, my God is powerful enough, and if he wants to, he can deliver me even from your hand and even from the flaming furnace. But if he does not, we want you to know that we will serve the Lord." What a powerful statement of faith. And I think there's people around us sometimes who yearn to see that kind of faith in action. And so the next thing to realize is that God strengthens us in those times of trial. So God prepares us and God strengthens us. And somehow he gave these young brothers the chance to stand up and make a great statement of faith before the most powerful king on the planet. And what happened then? Well, the king was furious with the three brothers, and so he ordered that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than it was. And he told the brothers again that if they failed to fall down and worship the idol at the sound of that music, then they would be thrown into that fire 7 times hotter. So, in fact, the music started to play, and the brothers refused to bow down, and so he had them bound hands and feet, and he had the soldiers throw them into the fire, and it says the fire was so hot that the soldiers that threw them into the fire were killed. Now, you can imagine how hot that fire was, and what happened next? I think it's really incredible. It's in the scripture. It says, soldiers who, the king's command was so urgent, and the furnace so hot, the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them into the fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we threw into the fire?" And they replied, "Certainly, your majesty." And he said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and 4th looks like the son of the gods." What an incredible thing. And the fire that was supposed to destroy these three brothers didn't destroy them, but it destroyed the things that bound them. It destroyed the ropes and that had bound them. And you think that God used that miracle that was supposed to destroy them in order to free them. And it killed the soldiers who tried to throw them in there and did throw them in there. And then God was so present, we believe that, scholars believe this was the pre-existent Christ. That Jesus was existed before the foundation of the world, and that Jesus was present with these three brothers in the fiery furnace. And I think it's a beautiful picture how that God strengthens us in the trials of our faith, and even the worst trial like this, that God was so present with these three brothers that Jesus himself was present there. Now, we may not face trials of that level, but we can know that whatever we do face, that Christ is present with us there. Jesus said, "Where 2 or 3 are gathered together, there I will be in your midst." And Jesus said that whether you go to the ends of the earth, there I will be with you always. And so we can know the promise that Jesus Christ is there. And not only did the fire free the three brothers from the bonds that had, the chains that had bound them, the ropes that had bound them, but God uses this as a chance to speak to Nebuchadnezzar. And listen to what he says. So the king calls him out. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satrap, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed, and their robes were not scorched. There was no smell of fire on them. That's amazing. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, listen to what he gives praise to God and confesses faith in God. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be burned into piles of rubble, for there is no other God that can save in this way. What a powerful thing that God uses their willingness to stand up for their faith, to stand true, that this powerful king can realize the power of God and even confesses God in this moment. And then he goes on to not only confess faith in God in some sense, but also to bless these young brothers and gives them another promotion. Now, the whole story isn't about having a promotion, I don't think, though sometimes when we are faithful in trials, God uses that to bring others to Christ, and God sometimes blesses us with some kind of promotion. But I think the most important thing is that God was able to strengthen them in this incredible trial, and that God will do the same for us. And that image of that fourth person being there is an image also when we think of going through trials and tribulation, and that Christ is present with us no matter what. And so God prepares us for the trials. Sometimes the small things prepare us for the big trials, and then God strengthens us through the trials. And finally, God uses those trials to refine us and to purify us. And if you think of that image for a moment of the ropes that had bound them of being burned off, that God used the fire in that moment to burn off the extra things that would have bound them. And sometimes also, that's an image when God puts us into the flames of trials and adversity, that God purifies us and refines us. And sometimes those things that are burned up are the very things that bind us and keep us from attaining the best in God. And Peter, that passage this morning when Peter says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. They have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." And so he says these trials, and actually the word he uses is not just varied, but many colored trials, all kinds of different trials, and the tribulations and difficulties come to try you and refine you like silver or gold, and you become more purified. And those are treasures that we can lay before Christ our Lord, and we can come before the Lord and know that God is there with us. Wonderful story about these women who were having a Bible study, and they came across the passage in Malachi that's in Malachi 3:3 that says, "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." And the women didn't know much about refining and purifying silver, and so one of the women volunteered to go and find out more about her. And so she went to a silversmith, one of these silver craftsmen, and asked to watch his process. And as he was going through the silver process, she asked him what he was doing. He said, "Well, you know, he's taking this silver in this ladle, and he was putting it into the flame, and that flame, it purifies the dross, and all the impurities burn out." He said, "But you can't put it in there too long." And she said, "Well, how do you know when it's the right moment, it's been fine, right?" And he said, "That's easy. I look into the fire in the ladle, and I can see a perfect reflection of myself in the silver." And she thought, what a beautiful picture of how God takes us and puts us into the flames of trial and adversity. And when God sees his reflection in us, he knows that we're in the right state and we reflect his glory and his love. Same way I think that God uses those trials to refine and purify us. Paul writes in Romans 8, in closing, I just want to share this. He says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. And what shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" As he goes on to say, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Know that we're able to conquer those things, and sometimes God calls us to a greater level through trials and adversity. Over vacation, I spent some time with my family, and at one point, my sister-in-law was sharing that she knew this woman who had some a chapter in her life that was very painful in her adolescent years, and it was so painful and so traumatic. She could never get over how that God had allowed this to happen in her life, and she had been happened years ago, and she still struggled with, you know, she believed in God's omniscience and God's omnipresence, that God was always there, and so she couldn't understand, if God was there, how could he let something like that happen? And so she prayed and she prayed and she prayed, and finally it was as if the Lord spoke to her and said, I was there. I was witnessing the birth of my warrior. What a beautiful truth. I was witnessing the birth of my warrior. And you think about sometimes the things that we face, difficulty, and in that difficulty and adversity, God is calling us to something higher. God wants us to be warriors for him, soldiers that are able to stand up in difficulty and adversity and challenges, and through our standing up, somehow we'll make the light of God's love and God's gospel and the faith in Jesus Christ known to more and more people, not just in our community, but around the world. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we're so thankful for the opportunity to worship you this morning and to feel your presence and to know your power. Sometimes we face adversity and challenges and difficulties in life. We pray you'd help us to be faithful like these three brothers. We'd stand true and pray that you'd help us to realize that sometimes the little trials that happen in our lives are ways of preparing us and for the bigger trials that come along the way. But help us to have faith that you will strengthen us, and in all these things you refine us for a greater calling for you through your power and to your glory. Amen.